Well, our message today is entitled Serving in the Body of Christ, and we've been looking at the church over the past few weeks and our role in it. There will be a fair bit of teaching in this, so buckle up. I hope you've got the staying power. Of course you have. Before Jesus went back up to heaven after having gloriously finished his assignment here on earth, he commissioned his followers, us, with the task of continuing his ministry. Ooh, that's a very big call. How are we going with that? And just look at those earlier followers that Jesus entrusted that job to. Peter, as fallible as a person can be. Thomas, the doubter. James and John, hot-headed and earning the nickname Sons of Thunder. What was Jesus thinking? But there was a plan. First came Pentecost, where Peter was transformed into this dynamic, persuasive speaker filled with the Holy Spirit. And all the other believers were likewise transformed as the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, came to live within them. And so the church was born with power. But there's more. When Jesus left, he gave gifts to his people to enable them to continue his ministry. And the gifts listed here in Ephesians are people, not regular spiritual gifts that can come and go according to need, but gifts who are actually people. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And in doing so, he gave a structure, a template for how he wants his church to operate. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, sometimes known as the fivefold ministry. The fivefold ministry. The last two, pastors and teachers, we're quite familiar with, but the first three, apostles, prophets and evangelists, not so much. Perhaps not at all. In fact, there are some people in the church who think that these gifts, these callings, are not for us now in the 21st century. They're only meant for the first century, for the beginning of the church. If we start at the end of our passage, verse 13, these gifts were given so that the body of Christ may be built up until how long? Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. At the risk of sounding like a child on a car trip, are we there yet? Are we there at oneness in our faith, oneness in the knowledge, the discernment, the experience of who Jesus is? Have we become mature? That word is perhaps better translated as complete. Are we complete in arriving at the whole measure of the fullness, the completeness of who Jesus is, and the completeness of his ministry to the world? Are we there yet? In all honesty, we'd have to say no, we're not there yet, not by a long way. So we can't say that these people, these callings, are not there because there's no longer a need for them in the church. Plainly, the need is still there. So let's look at these people gifts one by one and the structure that Jesus has set up for his church. We'll start with the hardest one first because that's the order they come in. Apostles. And I really struggled with this over several weeks, but I think I've come to a point of some understanding, but obviously not complete understanding. The difficulty lies in the fact that the Bible doesn't spell out clearly what their role is. The word apostle means the sent one. The sent one. We often think of the 12 disciples as the original apostles, but there were in fact many more than that mentioned in the New Testament. As far as we can tell, most of the original 12 were sent out to preach the gospel throughout their known world, as in fact they were sent out into their local community while Jesus was still with them, the sent ones. Another aspect of their role was as witnesses of Jesus' life and ministry, and particularly witnesses of his resurrection. As eyewitnesses, these people were keepers of the truth. They watched over the purity of the gospel, and some of them wrote it down to preserve the accuracy of the gospel story. Of course, their role as eyewitnesses inevitably ceased after they'd all died. And that brings us to the role of apostle today. This is a collage of everything I've learned about the office of apostle in my research. Oops. An apostle today has a high level of authority within the church. Apostles have an aura of wisdom about them. They are entrepreneurs and pioneers, being compelled by the Holy Spirit, driven to go into new areas where the gospel has not yet reached, sometimes involving great self-sacrifice. So they're often church planters. Apostles hold a vision for the church that's bigger than they are. They see the big picture. They have a vision for the kingdom of heaven invading, infiltrating our world until the principles that are operating in heaven become the principles that are operating here on earth. And it was Jesus' vision too. In the Lord's Prayer, he taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Bringing heaven to earth. And apostles hold the fivefold ministry in place, bringing them together and helping them to function in a complementary way. If the fivefold ministry of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher can be likened to the fingers on a hand, then the apostle is the thumb holding it all together. Do you know anybody like that? Perhaps you do. They might be functioning as an apostle. The second one is prophet, and that's a little easier to get a handle on. But there are layers to this. Prophecy, in its simplest definition, is making known the mind and intention of God. Making known the mind and intention of God. And of course, we do this by hearing from God first. The prophet Joel spoke of a time when everyone would prophesy. He spoke about how God would pour out his spirit on all people, old and young, male and female, servants, everybody, and they would dream dreams and see visions, which is a way that God communicates with us, another way. I will pour out my spirit on all people. That happened at Pentecost. And in fact, Peter quoted those verses from Joel as he stood up to address the crowd who thought he was drunk. Not drunk, just full of the Holy Spirit. And he hasn't been withdrawn. The Holy Spirit is still with us, still accessible to us. So everybody, as per Joel's prophecy, everybody can hear from God and share it with others. In fact, Jesus, when he was referring to himself as a good shepherd, said, "My sheep hear my voice." We can all hear from God and pass on his word to others when it's appropriate. But then there are those with the spiritual gift of prophecy, and they will prophesy more frequently and with a greater degree of clarity than most other believers. But there's more. There's the office or the vocation of prophet, as in our reading today. Philip, one of the 12, had four daughters who prophesied, and Paul was staying with them. But when a special word needed to be given to Paul, God sent a mature prophet from the Jerusalem church, Agabus, to speak his specific word to Paul, because it was a weighty matter. It was actually a life and death matter. Even though there were four women with a gift of prophecy right where Paul was staying. The office of prophet is not a spiritual gift, but a gift who is a person given by Jesus. Prophecy in the church today is a different thing from Old Testament prophecy. It's a much more collaborative affair. We are told not to despise prophecies, not to look down our nose at them, but to test them. And this is where the cooperative nature of it comes in. We need people with other spiritual gifts like discernment, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, to help us determine whether that is actually a word from God. Can you see how it all meshes together so beautifully? Unity in diversity. Now the third office, evangelist. The evangelist is symbolized here with a Bible and a microphone because the evangelist loves to bring other people into a saving relationship with Jesus, sharing the gospel and bringing them to faith. We've all known famous evangelists in our time, most notably Billy Graham, but there have been many, many others. The evangelist will also take other opportunities to share the gospel. For instance, if they find themselves sitting next to someone on a plane, they've got a captive audience, or any other situation that presents itself, because they have a fire within them to do this. Someone possibly did that for you, and it changed your eternity. We are called, all called, to share our faith with the people in our sphere. But the office of evangelist is something extra, a driving passion. Now we come into more familiar territory and we can all heave a sigh of relief. Pastor and teacher, we understand that, we've seen it operating. The way these vocations are listed in Ephesians 4, it seems that pastors and teachers go together. Certainly, a pastor will want to teach the people they've been entrusted with. But a teacher is not necessarily a pastor, although there is often a pastoral element in their teaching. For the sake of clarity, and so that I get to use another picture, we'll look at them separately. But firstly, I need to say that the idea we have today of a pastor or minister looking after a particular congregation is not the way that term was used in the New Testament. The person in charge of a congregation was referred to as a bishop or an overseer, while the role of pastor is a specific role within the fivefold ministry. A pastor is often referred to as a shepherd, and their function is very similar. Just as a shepherd is called to protect, guide, and nurture the sheep, So a pastor is called to feed and nurture the faith of the ones in their care. They love and protect their charges, caring for them in all the circumstances of their lives. It sounds rather soft and cuddly, but sometimes tough love will be required and constant vigilance. And finally, teacher. A teacher has a passion for the Word of God, helping people to understand it, believe it, and live in the truth of it. And teaching has a pastoral edge. They need to teach sensitively in a way that encourages and doesn't condemn. It has an evangelistic edge as they seek to lead people into a relationship with God. And it has a prophetic edge as the teacher hears from God and teaches what they've heard. There's that wonderful intermeshing again. So we have these five leadership positions in the church, appointed by Jesus, each fulfilling a particular function and each with a special anointing from the Holy Spirit to do the work. And each of the five has its own particular focus. For the apostle, their focus is the big picture, bringing the blueprint of heaven to operate on earth. For the prophet, their focus is the spiritual realm, listening for God. For the evangelist, their focus is the unsaved. For the pastor, it's the church, us. And for the teacher, it's the Word of God. And each one has their own passion for their particular ministry. I was having a conversation with a couple of friends recently, and one of them said, oh, for her, the Christian life is all about worship. That was her driving passion. And the other one said, for her, it was all about healing. And I said that for me, it's all about the Word of God. And we laughed because we were all wrong. But in a sense, we were right. Each one of us has a fire in our belly for the ministry that Jesus has given us. But we know that it's not the whole story. There are other passions and other ministries that together make up the continuing ministry of Jesus. You probably noticed that each of these fivefold ministries represents a facet of Jesus' ministry. Apostle means the sent one, and Jesus repeatedly referred to himself as having been sent by God. Prophet, hearing from God and speaking it out. Jesus said, I speak just what the Father has taught me. Evangelist, bringing the good news. Jesus came not to judge the world, but to save it. Good news indeed. Pastor or shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. He is the role model. And teacher. Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues and in the great outdoors. It was a huge part of his ministry. So it's as though Jesus said, I will put my heart for teaching about God into this person. I will put my heart for bringing people into relationship with God into this person. And I will put my heart for caring for each child of God into this person. So each of these ministries comes from Jesus' heart and operates only in connection with him, in close harmony with his heart. We need the whole heart of Jesus expressed in ministry to raise children of God. The whole heart of Jesus, because it's so easy to get tunnel vision. It's so easy to focus on one area, to the detriment of all the others. Let's go back to verse 12, which says that these callings were given to equip his people for works of ministry, to build up the body of Christ. Their role is not to do everything themselves, but to equip us so that we can do it. In a sense, to do themselves out of a job. A few years ago, some of us had the privilege of spending time with a man who was recognized as a prophet in the Anglican Church. He was working with us because we'd expressed a hunger for more of the Spirit, more spiritual gifts. And although we saw him exercising his gift of prophecy in an amazing way, his main role was to teach us. To teach us not to be afraid of the silence when we were praying, to listen for God's voice in the silence, to be alert for words, pictures, verses from God. This man spent considerable time imparting what he knew and experienced of prophecy. I can personally vouch for the fact that he was truly a gift to us. For all of those who learn better by watching, by seeing, I've put together a little diagram. It works. You've got no idea what a mess I made of this at the 9 o'clock service. Here at the top, we have Jesus as head of his church. And then he's giving his heart to for all these different functions to these various people who will exercise it for him. And they, in turn, pass on what they know to us. They encourage us, they activate us to do the work that we're called to do. And other spiritual gifts fit in around this too to complete the picture. And so when everything is functioning together, together we offer the complete ministry of Jesus. And every now and then, somebody from this row might be called up to that row. Maybe Jesus is wanting to call some of us now to step into a new calling. And if your heart is starting to beat a bit faster, pay attention to that. Imagine what it would be like if we were to see this functioning in Burnside City Uniting Church, functioning fully in the pattern that Jesus has set for his church. And how do we know if we're being called up higher? We don't know. All we can do is stay connected to Jesus, available, ready and 100% committed. Amen.